Welcome, everybody, to the AMI Today podcast. My name is Dr. Eric Huntington, and I'm the CEO of Advanced Medical Integration. And I'm very excited today to have a special guest with me. We're going to talk about a topic that is, is probably the number one limiting factor in the expansion of the companies that I've built over the years. And so I'm excited to have David Lee Jensen from the Hiring Academy here to talk about staff and hiring employees and how to use that to build your company.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me. Okay, we're live. Here we go.
So if you could just share with everybody a bit about your history and how that brought you to what you're doing today with the Hiring Academy.
Sure. I had worked in consulting of businesses and going through all sorts of different types of businesses, from framing businesses to hamburger joints to, big corporations. I always found there were two key areas that I found as weaknesses, which were hiring and or personnel and marketing. And I knew there were a lot of marketing guys out there, a lot of guys who were really terrific at that. And that wasn't my deal. But I knew I always had an awesome team around me making me better. And people would tell me, oh, you're so blessed to have, such great people.
Yeah.
And so I realized there was something to it. It was actually an art or a skill. So I wrote a book about it.
Often when people, they don't understand something or can't quite identify why something happens, they'll attribute it to luck, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Oh, you're lucky.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I'm lucky, and I'm an overnight success.
Yeah. That's right.
12 years in the making.
Exactly.
And it took a lot of work to just figure out, okay, what are the key elements? And so I came up with the 10 truths of hiring. And they're not like the 10 commandments etched in stone or whatever. They're just 10 truths that I saw really were effective at changing the quality of hires. And so now I help business owners hire the right person the first time and every time.
That's great. And I tell you, that's a skill, to not only be able to figure out how to do something well, but then be able to sort of codify it.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to learn more about
that. And it can be codified, which is great. It's not something that is unlearnable or, I'm just not a good hiring person. It takes exact steps to make you a great hiring person.
Right.
And anybody can do that, whether you're a doctor or you're a hamburger flipper. I mean, to be totally honest, not to separate those too much.
Sure. So, when I looked on your website, one of the things that was up there was some of the companies that you've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that you've worked with, some of the biggest companies in the world, Amazon.
Fortune 50 companies.
Yeah. Fortune 50 companies. You've also worked with the government. I saw, mm-hmm. I think, the U.S. Army.
Homeland Security. Yeah.
Homeland Security. But also down to, probably individual business owners, like mm-hmm. a doctor, a chiropractor, or, something along that line.
Yeah. Integrated medical practices, even.
Well, perfect.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, that's right. We were just talking about that before we got started. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, what are some of the similarities and differences when you work with a large company, right, versus a smaller company, maybe single location, like a professional such as a doctor?
Interesting. There are a lot of similarities because hiring is hiring is hiring. You're looking for the needle in the haystack. You're looking for the person to help take some of the load off of you, no matter what area you're in. So, and no matter where you are in the organization, you want to find somebody who can help assist to free up time or to create money. If you can deliver more because now you've got a whole nother service facility, well, then that's going to create more money for your practice or for your franchise or whatever type of activity you have going. And that's the same in Silicon Valley as it is in, Deer Valley, right?
Right.
It is the key is time and money. And if bringing somebody in is going to create that for you, then you want to make sure you get the right person and someone you can trust and someone you can delegate to and someone who's going to actually represent you with your clientele. And especially with doctors, I think it's really, really important to them. And I feel that's one of the reasons they get stuck in their practice is because they feel they have to be hands-on with every single patient.
Mm-hmm.
And then they worry about, whether the receptionist is going to treat that person with the same respect and care and attention to detail. And that's then what I tell them to look for in the hiring process is really where are they with regards to their interaction. People talk about if it's someone really important, take them out to lunch, see how they treat the waiter. That's a really, really important, you know, skill. Will they treat that person the same as they are treating you in the conversation? That's why I say do phone interviews before you even bring somebody into the office, because sometimes you'll hear things on a phone interview that you never would have known in that first date when they come in for the interview and they're all perfect or what have you, right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It reminds me of times when, as part of my interview process, I it's not the way I do it now, but I'd have people call in and leave a voicemail and I'd call them back. Mm. And I was able to eliminate probably 20% of the people literally by how they answered the phone.
Absolutely.
Because they're out of the element of the interview.
Absolutely. Right? That's true. You know, you call them up and sometimes they don't know who you are, what job they applied for, what the practice does, you know, and they really haven't done any research. And that right there for me shows not enough care in attention to detail or not enough care about actually working for you. Maybe, yes, they want a job, any job, but you want somebody who's behind your mission, who's behind your purpose, who's behind your level of care, so that then you can bring them onto a team, you know, and think they're going to be there for a long time. I feel like candidates all walk in the door and they go, you know, Dr. Huntington, I want a career, not just a job.
Right?
But what do they do? They're just saying it,
right?
It's not a like, wow, I looked over your website. I mean, like even you just now, you know, like you granted me that importance of, hey, I looked through your website. I see these companies you worked with. That makes me feel more important. It makes me feel more trusting of you. And I can talk to you now rather than trying to explain, yeah, you know, I've shared the stage with Richard Branson and Grant Cardone. And you know, like,
yes.
It becomes tedious, right?
Yes.
And why should an employer go through that? He should be finding somebody who comes in and they say, I'm really impressed that you mix chiropractic with holistic care, that you bring in physical therapy in the same environment, that you care all about a patient from their diet through their, you know, physical health, and not just, you know, ailing, you know, fixing whatever ails them with a Xanax or something, you know,
it's like. Right, they know about us, they know about our culture, and they cared enough to learn about it. You know, it's interesting, because, you know, at AMI, we are constantly interviewing and hiring. We're an expanding company.
Big time.
We just hired somebody yesterday. Okay, that was the decision was made yesterday to make the hire.
Are they gone today? Or
No. They're arriving on Monday. So we they've got
so far so good.
They're going to be here next Monday. But it's interesting because we interviewed probably 10 people for the job, and it was interesting because it was a finance job that I haven't hired before in my previous companies. It's a controller, which would be, you have your CFO, which would be your highest level finance person, and then a controller, and then other people in the finance department. And I haven't, for my companies, I haven't hired that position before.
Right.
And so it was interesting going through, but you know, the one candidate that we hired, actually when she came in, this isn't the reason we hired, but I noticed it. She saw this book sitting on our counter, and she actually bought the book at our office. She found out it was for sale, and she was the only candidate that came in that's ever done that, you know. And when I called, we spoke to her a few weeks later, coming back for a second interview. She had read 3/4 of the book.
Good on the second interview, by the way. That's one of the biggest mistakes people make is not doing a second interview.
So tell me about
checking
that.
Reference. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's just, I hear that so little that it scares me sometimes. They're like, yeah, she just came in and then we hired her. And it's like, whoa, that really is, like we were saying, you know, the first date.
Yes.
You know, the first date is always the holding of the doors, the beautiful restaurant and what have you. And then sometimes the second date is, you know, the neighborhood taco stand or whatever. And then the third date's McDonald's, right?
Like,
it just doesn't all add up. And that's why as an employer, you have to bring somebody back. You're gonna, you spend more time at your office, and especially practitioners, right?
I mean,
you spend, you know, more hours than anybody at the office because you have your patient load, you have, you know, you're having to check out the marketing and the internal functions or what have you, which, you know, most doctors, in my opinion, just hate. So they spend extra grueling time at that. And then after hours, you have to make sure all your patient files are right and all the billing is correct. And so it's a full-time job that you spend in the office more time than you do at your home.
Yeah.
Yet you're ready to give the front door key to somebody who just came in for a first date.
Good point.
You know, I did ask my wife to marry me on her first date, so I can't say it never works out. 27 years later, it's pretty good. But, You really wouldn't usually do that.
Well, listen, that's why you're the guru of hiring, right? I mean, you nailed it with your wife on the first date. I mean, that's right. You're a screaming success. Yeah. So
she was my best friend before that, so I cheated a little bit.
You're going through the screening process
that's
there.
Right. That's right. Very much so.
Okay, good. That's cool. You know, it brings up a point. You know, one of the first mistakes I made with my very first hire, you just mentioned it here now, is I didn't interview enough candidates. Mm. Not only was it, this was in my first business right out of school, I opened a practice, and I interviewed, I think, about 8 people, mm-hmm. okay? And I hired the best, what I thought was the best of the 8. Mm. Now, there were 2 problems with that. First problem was, it was my first experience hiring. Mm. It was my first company.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been a paper boy before that, but that was a solo job, right? Yeah. I didn't hire anybody other than my dad.
Could have expanded that to a whole team.
I learned that
looking
later.
Looking back, right?
I could have had the whole town.
Biggest paper boy delivery ever.
That's right. So, but you know, the first mistake was I didn't know enough about hiring. Mm-hmm. So I would have probably done a better job at my first hire if I had just interviewed more people.
Yeah.
Okay, just so that I would have gotten the routine. But also, just sheer numbers. And one thing I have learned is that you know, it is just like marketing. It's a bit of a numbers game.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You know,
I wouldn't disagree in any way, shape, or form. I think that, like I said earlier, it's a process that can be trained.
Yeah.
You know, you can do anything from read my book, and at the end of reading the book, you will definitely know more about the hiring process, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I developed an online platform, the Hiring Academy, which is a series of courses that allow practical application to the hiring theory.
Great.
Right, so that you can actually write interview questions, you can write reference check questions, you can,
yes.
Which most people think, you know, reference checks are just a formality, but they're really, they can make or break a great hire. And, you know, it's just really important to know that it is a process, and so it doesn't matter whether 8 people come through the process or 80 people come through the process, if you've got a specific process and it works, then you can find the right people,
yes.
You know? And
yes.
So it's unfortunate your first out of the 8 wasn't there, but I never try and put a limiting factor, but you're right, it's quantity, quality, you know, viability, right?
Yes.
The Harvard Management, you know, key datum, really, really important.
Right, makes sense.
Yep.
Good.
Totally.
You know, what is one of the challenges facing the solo practitioner, your doctor who's got 1 practice, maybe he's got 2 practices, he or she's got 2 practices, but you know, they're really looking to scale.
Mm-hmm.
And how does, you know, the hiring process and being able to choose the right people impact that?
Well, you know, I think it circles back to what we said about time and money, right? Mm-hmm. Hiring is, you know, it's the most important thing you do in your business, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit swayed because I'm a hiring guy, right? But imagine if you took the task that's most tedious to you mm-hmm. at the end of the day and looked back and you didn't have to do it because somebody else was expert at it and they did it for you. Imagine if at the end of the day, you had a report on your desk that said, hey, the paperwork or the, you know, insurance billing or the whatever it is that is your most tedious task was done and it was flagged perfectly and it communicated to you that it saved you the time of having to do it. It's billing or it's any process in a company mm-hmm. is going to create more money mm-hmm. if it's a team working together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke basketball mm-hmm. coach, right? He says, you know, there's 5 players on a team. It's just like 5 digits on your hand. But
yes.
You can't win a fight with, you know, your fingers open. You know, you have to close them into a fist and work together.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's the same with a practice where each person on the team has to have their functions and those functions support the others in the group so that you can, you know, push forward the goals of the office and, you know, achieve those, you know, expansion points. And that's where really a doctor doesn't want to be bothered with hiring someone else. But really, if they said, okay, good, I want to be involved in the hiring process. I want it to go through an HR person, office manager, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
And then I want it to go to, you know, my husband or my wife or, you know, whoever's kind of the confidant and then bring it to me and be willing to be involved in that process. then they're going to get the jewels, the people who they would give the front door key to their house, not just their practice, mm-hmm. because they're going to be able to trust them. And those people are going to be around for a long time and really translate to profitability and expansion and contributing. That's why I get so passionate about it, because it can really change an entire business.
Yeah.
Take your favorite restaurant, right? The most luxury, beautiful, awesome restaurant, right? Not Subway on the corner, right? And, you know, think back of going to that restaurant and enjoying your favorite dish. You probably order the same thing every time because it's so delicious, right?
Yeah, I'm the same order guy. At the restaurant, I order this.
You know, and so you go through that process in your mind of like, oh yeah, I love that restaurant. You probably love the ambiance. You love the restaurant's got a personality to it, right? And then the waiter comes up and is like, are you ready yet? What? Like, and just a little edge of like, oh, you know, whatever it is, it's a little rude, a little different. Now, does that taint that picture of that perfect restaurant? Does that make it so that next time you're considering where to go to eat, you like think of that waiter and you go, oh, I don't know if I want to like deal with that guy again, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And now, a restaurant that works so hard to have the most delicious ingredients and the most beautiful food and the greatest ambiance, now it's all messed up because some idiot employee,
right?
And I'm allowed to say that because I'm talking to the third person, right?
That's right. Is
completely ruining everything you've developed to have this awesome restaurant that everybody loves.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So it's
it can happen that fast. It can literally happen that fast.
Oh,
it's happening every day.
I've gone into a doctor's office and been like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, I'm not
That's
getting
right.
treated here, without even meeting the doctor, who could have been the greatest person in the whole wide world. But his office staff was so rude and so disrespectful that I was like, you're not getting my business,
right.
you know?
Right.
So that's really, really important. And it doesn't mean being nice, because if you look up the word nice, the derivation of the word nice is stupid, believe it. Like, that's where that comes from along the track, is stupidity then became nice. We've all met those nice people, haven't we?
That's right.
It's like ridiculous. No, you want somebody who's smart and who is kind and who is, you know, efficient. Those things are really, really important. Not just the first candidate who comes in, a big smile and a handshake, and, oh, doc, I'm going to make your life easier. Whoa, just send that person off with a, thanks, I'll call you, because that's really what they deserve.
That makes sense.
Sorry, I am passionate about the subject.
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited about this because, in my experience as a practice owner and a doctor, I owned two practices in Maryland. I was living here while I ran them for the last 5 or 6 years, and so I had to build a real stable organization with great staff in order to do that. And one of the questions I sometimes get from the clients that consult with us is, hey, doc, so like you've got all these systems and you've got all this figured out and you had two clinics. Well, I mean, why didn't you have 10?
Mm.
Right? And a part of the answer is I diverted my attention in terms of building my businesses to other types of companies. But the other part of that answer is, quite frankly, you know, the limiting factor is the people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I look at what took me so many years after I sort of had it figured out, systems were figured out, I knew how to do it.
Yeah.
I knew how to show somebody else how to do it.
Then there was, you know, the limiting factor was literally finding the people.
Yeah. So it's so critically important.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to ask you, since the clients, most of our clients, and a lot of the guys watching this are, they're integrated medical practices, meaning you've got a doctor, often a chiropractor, but possibly some other provider type, and they're looking to put, you know, different provider types together in a practice and then build out all of the support staff. If you can generalize for a moment, what are some of the key things you either look for or don't look for in a staff member, in a potential hiree?
Yeah. Well, I would run through, obviously, the steps, the 10 truths, you know, being diligent, not desperate. That really, you know, relates itself to your quantity, you know, viewpoint, you know.
From the viewpoint of the person doing the hiring.
Doing the hiring, yes, absolutely. Like, be diligent, not desperate. That's rule number one.
Yes.
Because that is the trap we fall into, is we have to have someone right now, you know. The receptionist just quit. PT just,
yes.
Her husband landed a job at Microsoft in Washington and she's gone, right?
Yes.
Or.
Yeah.
So
in order to do that,
desperate.
So in order to do that, as part of your program, do you recommend, having hiring being part of the process as part of your normal functioning of your company, as opposed to just when you need somebody?
Absolutely. That's, you know, and I don't know if I actually recommend that, but that is an awesome suggestion.
Yeah.
And I always say, I don't know everything about hiring, and the 10 truths are not, you know, etched in stone like the 10 commandments. It is not, you know, the only law. They're just the things that have worked for me, and you're going to have things that worked for you that you can add, and things that didn't work for you that now, you know, you'll put aside. With regards to the hiring process, it is an ongoing affair because factually, like, I ran this banking company, right? I was the president of a company that we grew to $2.5 billion in client sales. And we grew from like 25 employees to, you know, a couple hundred. And my greatest sales manager was my barista at Starbucks.
Wow.
And I would go into Starbucks in the morning every day at that time. I don't do that anymore. But I would walk into Starbucks and I would see her keep everybody under control, whether it was, you know, the correct amount of force or whether it was the, you know, correct amount of happiness or whether it was the correct amount of intensity. There was always just she was playing the piano in there and I could see it. And I could see that a lot of the employees at Starbucks, you know, are entry level into the workplace and, you know, not the highest caliber. They have some amazing people, though, as well, because that's what she was. And so one day I said, look, you know, I'm not trying to cut across the business here and this and that and the other, but you seem really proficient at what you do. And if you're ever interested in a, you know, career in, you know, merchant services or whatever, you know, here's my business card. And, you know, you could throw it out or give me a call.
Yeah.
A couple weeks later, she showed up. We interviewed her, put her through the process, showed her, you know, what it would be. She got into sales, then she got into directing, then she got into being our vice president of sales management and was like, but it was because I saw something in her that was competence and it was care and it was good communication, which is probably the most important thing no matter what the job is, right?
Okay, good,
And some of the personality types, I mean, you just said you hired a controller, right?
Yeah.
Your controller should be interviewed by your CFO along the way. I'm sure she was, right?
Right?
Your controller should be judged on the, you know, entry by administrative people because that personality type and that skill set runs together, you know, no generalities or prejudices. It's just a fact. The sales guy is going to be like, hey, so how do you get that spreadsheet done? And she's going to be like, ah, and she might be the best, you know, accountant in the world. And she's out the door because she's overwhelmed by that communication process.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's right.
So like people hire like people. So if you had asked me, how do I find a controller, you know, or who's going to interview a controller because that's not my forte, I would say have your CFO interview. If your CFO's a rock star that you love, which I'm sure they are because you guys have had great expansion, you know, that's really important is having like people. Now, if you wanted a salesperson, I wouldn't let your CFO even near them, right? Because CFO is now just looking at what am I going to have to pay and, you know, and all that. And the personality type's different. I would take your rock star salesman, put him in a pit together, let him fight it out, and he's going to come out and go, wow, yeah, this guy could be good. He kind of threatens me a little bit. Or, I mean, that's the best hire in the world. You'd be like, oh, yeah? Okay, that's the guy we want, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that helps in the hiring process, and that's how you find, you know, people. For a practice, you know, like you guys are looking at, you want to find people who are not using you. The one caution I would have, because I've seen this with actual like chiropractic offices we've helped with or PT offices, we've seen that some people are like, oh yeah, I just trained in the Pettibon system or the, you know, I'm on this or what have you. And now they're using this as a stepping stone.
Yes.
And so you want to caution on that just because, you know, it's great for everybody to have goals or what have you, but you've got to keep yourself in mind first and keep the expansion. And the way to do that, a little trick that I found specifically in this practice, is to say like you did, you know, and you mentioned other clients who have expanded to, you know, 10 offices, 20 offices, what have you, whether it's 4 or 20, that opportunity for expansion is great to put a little seed of hope in that hiring process. If you really love this person and you're worried they're going to end up with their own practice next year and they're just going to kind of learn the systems at my shop.
Yeah, it's a concern.
Let them know ahead of time. You know what? I'm looking at expanding or whatever. And if things work out right, you know, there's a process. Everybody starts at the bottom. And that's a great way to get people to start at the bottom because everybody comes in and they're like, oh, no, I'm too good for that or whatever. Yeah. You say, no, no, no. Everyone starts at the bottom. And everyone has an opportunity to have their own shop and to be have the marketing support and the systematic support of our organization, which has obviously been successful or you wouldn't be here applying for a job.
Yeah.
So let's get you into the program, starting at the bottom, working up the ranks, and let's see if we can be teammates in the future.
Yes.
You know, and have you. Now you've got somebody who will really do the work for you. They won't let Jane or Joe slack next to them because they want to be the one in the, you know, the cream of the crop in that opportunity.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't get too, you know, cocky about it or whatever, then let them play, you know, let them have fun. And at the end of the day, I hate that statement, but
sure.
At the end of the day, you would rather have two offices and share, you know, and make 80% of a, you know, yeah. 200% than making only 80% of one. Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So. I think any business owner who can achieve a degree of greatness at what they do are really good at helping to bring other people up with them.
It's true.
Right. And that's exactly what you're
leadership
saying.
Leadership point. Yeah.
It is. It's a leadership point. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great advice. And I think it's very workable. I did that with in my practice, both practices, in fact, both clinics. One of them, I had two of my associate doctors become partners.
Nice.
They eventually bought the clinic out, and it worked great for all parties involved.
Great.
And then the other one of the associates, eventually bought the clinic.
Wow.
And so they, you know, I sort of moved up, you know, in the business, and then they came up, and they are now the business owners. And
wow.
So we've sort of gone through the whole evolution. So I think there's a lot of truth to that.
That's really well done to you, because that is, I think that's probably what most of the people watching have the biggest challenges with. You
yeah.
know, it's just my opinion, but that whole idea of being in the organization versus being on top of the organization
yes.
is a very fine line. You know, it could change like that because somebody calls and says, oh, this happened or that happened, whether
yes.
good or bad.
Right.
And, you know, so to the degree of great systems in place, which is obviously why they're AMI clients, right,
yes.
or becoming AMI clients, is because you give them the systematic process. And hiring's part of that systematic process. It's just do it right the first time, and every single time you'll get the right candidate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't tell you how, again, I'm going to say it again, how excited I was to do this interview with you, because there are so many important aspects to a business. Right, it'll only function if all the key things are done properly. Mm. But the one thing that really is missing in almost all practices is the HR area.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, because you know, of course, the doctor is given their doctor hat in school,
oh,
so
yeah.
they know the treatment area,
right.
the service delivery,
right.
and that's usually the area they want to spend the most time in. They sort of are if they're going to be a practice owner, although they may not get trained in school, they're sort of thrown to the wolves, or their, you know, their feet to the fire to just learn how to run the business. So they sort of learn the business owner aspect, and you know, but the HR
but
area
only
for some
out of
reason,
necessity.
Only out of necessity. yeah. And really, that HR area is so under utilized, so not understood.
It's true.
You know, so it's just so valuable what you're providing for people.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of the mistakes that people make on the hiring line? In any type of business, or what mistakes are made?
Yeah, well, mistakes are, you know, everything. They're all the reverses of doing the right thing, right?
Sure.
So the mistake would be hiring the guy with the first, you know, good-looking tie and great handshake. That's a mistake, right?
Yes,
just
yes.
going ahead through that. A mistake would be not doing second interviews or third interviews. If it's an executive, if it's somebody who is a potential practice partner or practitioner or whatever, you should have dinner with he and she and their family, right? You should actually get to know this person.
These are the higher level hires,
yeah,
right?
The higher level hires,
yeah.
Because you're going to spend a lot of time with that person, and you know, there's a lot you can find out over a good personal conversation. And I don't mean anything odd or anything, you know, illegal or, you
yeah.
know, breaking the lines. I just mean as far as vision and goals and work ethic and core values, right? Those are things that you want in your practice, and especially somebody who's taken the Hippocratic Oath, right?
Yes.
You don't want to now go to dinner. I mean, I've literally been to dinner with someone who was going to be a very senior executive in our company, and they were rotten drunk by the end of the meal. And I was like, wow, I wonder if they had a history of missing days of work, or if they had, you know, the,
sure.
you know, like there was it a judgment? Yes, it was, but it opened a line of questioning with regards to wow, is this the professionalism of somebody who I've now got to have go out and meet with clients or play golf with clients or.
Yeah, and listen, you need to make a judgment. I mean, you're going to be employing them or becoming a partner or something,
right? And it's going to be your risk if something goes wrong, right?
That's right?
So that's an extreme example.
Sure.
But you asked what can go wrong. What can go wrong is, you know, you turn a blind eye to that. I do this, and can I do a little exercise with you to kind of like, you know, put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is going to be fun for everybody out there. All right, good. So you talked about your practice.
Yeah.
So I want you to think back to the last person you had to fire.
In my practice, okay. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I did the firing or the company did the firing.
Yeah,
how are we going to do this?
I mean, you influenced it, you know, whatever you like. That guy's got to go. Whether you had to personally sit down and go, you're fired. Has to be somebody who came through the interview process that you approved, and then later, at any time later, you had to fire. Can you think of that person?
Yes.
Good. Okay, good. Now, when did you know, how long were they there, ballpark, that person? How long have they worked there?
2.5 years.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, and now you had to fire them. Great. Okay, good.
Got it.
Perfect. When did you know it wasn't going to work out?
It was a desperate hire.
Okay.
You got me.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
That's the answer every time. It's like most people say, oh, well, you know, a few months before we had some trouble, it was breaking down, right? And then you kind of pull and you say, come on, doc, you know, when was it? And they go, well, you know, da, da, da. And I go, good. Now tell me about the interview. You know, did anything occur there? Well, yeah, they picked their nose while they were talking to me, or they took a phone call and said, yeah, mom, I'll be out in the parking lot in a minute. Or they, you know, some crazy thing that you literally just put blinders on.
Yes.
Because it was a desperate hire.
Yes.
So if you, any of you out there, you know, want to change your hiring process for the better, you got to know the people you choose will change the trajectory of your business.
Yes.
And your life.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
A great hire can change your life for the better.
Yes.
It can start producing patients. It can start producing billing. It can start producing success for you and them.
Yeah.
And a bad hire can really, really mess some things up. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So,
no doubt.
I hope that answered the question.
Oh, it did.
I know I put you on the spot, but
it was a great example.
And you're an incredible success. Imagine, you know, the people watching, they're like, wow, you know, this could change their whole practice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I actually, my wife and I actually went through our computer systems and all of our companies to figure out how many people we had hired. Over our career.
Wow.
And we've gotten a lot of practice. So I think this is an area that we sorted out mainly by trial and error, you know, and that is part of what, you know, when I look at what could I have done to shorten the road to the success I have had and what could have allowed me and what will allow me in the future to reach higher levels of success. And one of the main areas is understanding people in the hiring process and leadership. And it's almost all of it really is personnel related.
Yeah, they really should teach it. And you know, that should be, I mean, you do enough years to become a doctor anyways. They should add on, you know, a couple months of personnel and finance and marketing, you know. But that's how to handle it, is the same way you would handle any of those areas, which is, you know, buy a course, get a process, you know, get a partner like an AMI, you know, or like a hiring academy, right? Whatever it is, to master that process for yourself or for your organization, so you don't have to worry about it being strung around your neck. You know? You do it in other areas, and then, like you said, I mean, when was the last time you heard of an HR manager at a medical office? Never, right?
Never.
You hear of the office manager who he or she has, what, 12, 15, 20 different hats that they're wearing in the organization?
That's right.
And personnel is just like, fill a hole, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then the organization starts to crumble just due to that. And then, you know, and you can't really blame them because they have so many other things. But if an office manager's first hire was someone to handle, you know, internal human resources, now there's a, you know, you build a house of glass, straw, wood, you know, many different materials. They all have one thing in common, which is a concrete foundation.
Yes.
And hiring is that concrete foundation.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when the light bulb went on for me in this area in terms of how important that HR area is. It was when I realized that my wife, she and I had built our first company together, and that's really where her strengths are. And what I noticed was that when she went in, because both of us were out of the practice, but when she went in to do something to grow the practice, almost everything she did was in that HR area.
Wow.
You know, she would do personnel interviews. She would get the hiring line going. Because if we had been out for several months, or in some cases a couple of years,
it started to dwindle
because those things that we didn't get fully in that we had been doing weren't being done. But she'd go in and put those things in, and immediately the practice would expand.
It's just
so incredible, how powerful these things
and
are.
And it's really well done that you continue down that path, because some people just give up, and they're just like, and you hear them. You hear the retired people or the people who come to work for somebody else, even though they had their own practice, and they're like, what happened? They're like, I just couldn't find the right people, right? And they throw up their hands, and they just give up, or I couldn't manage people.
Yes.
That's the self-invalidation, right? Yes. Now it becomes, I couldn't manage people. No, it isn't. You just didn't find the right people.
Yep.
You didn't put in a process, and that's the importance. And what's great is all the things you did to help to get out of the practice was probably writing it up, and saying, this is the procedure for that, and writing it up and say, this is how you do this. This is my successful actions. Well, if hiring wasn't considered in that process, then there is no write-up. That's why I developed the Hiring Academy. The Hiring Academy was, how to hire the right people the first time and every time in a systematic process. We give you a 38-page workbook that you go through, and you watch the first video, and you answer the questions online, and then you write down your, and literally at the end, after writing all those answers, you've now got a manual that you can hand to somebody and say, this is our hiring process. It tells you where to give the tour, what questions to ask, what to ask when you do reference checks, all of those things. And
great.
It's really important to put a process in.
It is. Any area that, I found in any of my companies where there was a process missing, it didn't go well, it fell out, it wasn't there in the first place.
True.
This is super valuable.
Awesome.
What is your overall philosophy, hiring and personnel management? I mean, we can wrap up today with
my overall philosophy. I feel like it should be something really ethereal and an infinite amount of time and space and life and living.
I set you up there.
In terms
of
my philosophy. Wow.
How do you feel about personnel and the importance of...
They're going to probably have to cut how many times I've said, you should really have a hiring process. They're going to be like, this guy never shuts up about it, right? But my philosophy is that, and it's funny, probably there is something that I haven't said, which is it's an enjoyable environment to work in. If everybody knows, what those, it's like those five fingers. If everyone knows what those tasks are and those functions are that everyone else does, and they have a good leader, like you said, which is very important, then it shouldn't be that difficult, because a like person, like one of my steps, back to the 10 truths, right, is to give a tour. And I say the rule is the tour isn't show and tell, it's watch and listen. So people first go, well, a tour, I have an online, portal or a website or whatever. And I'm like, great, then get them on a Zoom call and take them through, all the online products and ask them, what do you think of this? But don't go, well, this is the, and especially bring them through a practice. Don't go, this is the Pettibon room. This is the, treadmill thing. This is the, and this, mm-hmm. like you're giving a tour to your niece or something. Right?
Yes.
Bring them through and let them ask questions. Let them communicate with the environment. Let them talk to the employees. Let them, be a part of the organization for a few moments.
That's such a good, that is such a good point, because I stumbled upon this myself in my own career. All of a sudden realized after doing so many interviews that I was doing just that. I was doing all the talking, and at one point I sat back and I went, I don't know if I know anything about that person.
Totally.
What a mistake that was.
And realize also, I'm not talking from a position of whatever. The only reason I now, know this, was able to write the book, is because I looked back at my life, from being an abused child to having failed relationships to dropping out of school to, having failed businesses and business partners. All of those things just kept hitting me. until I learned trial and error and trial and error, and finally was like, wow, you know, because I took the time to do this, that worked, you know?
Yeah.
And I really like the phone call rule where I say, you know, phone screening, you should hear them smile. People go, hear them smile. And I'm like, yeah, pick up your phone the next time you're talking to somebody and just ask yourself, are they smiling? You can tell.
Yes, you can.
Right?
Yes, you can. That's right.
So when you're doing an applicant interview, you get all these applicants. Rather than having them come into the office, waste at least 30 minutes of your time just so you can be cordial, just give them a phone call. And if they, you know, answer the phone and they're like, you know, hey, doctor, and they sound really good, everything, and they're like, hold on a second, shut up, kids, I'm on the phone. Uh-oh. A little bad indicator there, right?
That's right.
You know, okay, good, I'm not going to meet with you.
Yeah, that's right. You can tell there's like a social veneer there when they're on the phone with you.
Absolutely.
And there's something else going on in the rest of their life,
and then you
right?
can just say, great, we'll get back to you when we're setting interviews. And then, you know, don't set an interview with them. And
see,
the tour.
It seems like one of the keys here that you mentioned a couple of times is trying to get them, see them in an environment that isn't so staged.
Totally. When, like, I mean, I also ask, you know, tell you to ask really, you know, interesting interview questions.
Rather give me an example.
You know, the one I love the most did you have a job before the practice, or did you go straight out and start your practice?
It was just the paper boy.
Awesome.
I went straight out.
Good. So then,
I worked at the
Gap. Here we go. Good. So if you would come in, and I'm looking at your resume or whatever, and I say, oh, I see, you know, you used to work at the Gap or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you were to tell me about your position at your last company, what sport was it, and what position did you play?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I see how that breaks through, doesn't it?
Breaks that pattern, breaks that, you know, I want a career, not just a job, doctor, right? You know, now it's like, what sport? And funny enough, like I always tell, like I had this old, wonderful Hispanic woman who came in one night, and I gave her that question just as a curveball.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know sports. She says, but I know knitting. And I am the stable needle that you keep there while everything else loops around it. That was like my job. I was the stable needle. And I was like, wow, like I wanted to go right there, say, you're hired.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she knew how to take something and creatively turn it back into something she knew and to, you know, assimilate. And so somebody will say, oh, you know, I was the catcher, everyone else was pitching at me, or I was the captain and I was the, you know, and now you see the ego come out.
Yep.
If you ask those interesting questions, it's just like at the end of the tour. At the end of the tour, Bobby, Julie, Frank, they're all going to come up and they're going to go, you're not going to hire him, are you? Right?
Right.
And you're going to be like, oh, well, what occurred?
What did you say?
Like, oh, well, when he came in my area, he was like, oh, I would never stop staring out those windows at the beautiful, you know, mountains or whatever. Or, you know, or I remember him from, you know, somewhere else. Or like all of these comments where they'll be like, wow, he seemed like really nice. Especially when sometimes that person's going to be the boss of the people that he saw along the tour.
Yes.
You better make sure that they're willing to have that person in their environment and in their space, and that they don't have some... You know, and then you're almost consulting them, you know, or their willingness
to have
this person join.
That's right, and you're getting different viewpoints, right? Because
totally.
Each of us has our own strengths, our own history of things, and we can observe different things. And
that's right.
Yeah, I think it's valuable,
it is
getting other people's viewpoints.
It is. So, you know, and not to the degree where now everyone else is telling you what to do, but you can at least evaluate, I observed blah, did anybody else see that or what have you?
Yes.
They all saw a real efficiency, I guess something I missed, you know, whatever. And now you have them come in and do a proficiency test, you know? You can always test people on the actual activities they're going to do in the workspace. You can say, you know what? I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not certain about bringing you in, you know, at that level.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to come in for a couple weeks and work with the PTs, and let's see how it works out? And then at the end of the, you know, we'll call it a working interview.
Yes.
You know, and then they can agree to that. And now you got the person right there in the workspace. You see if they're on time or they're early or they're late. You see their proficiency. You see their communication. And now you can really commit. And it's going to be better for them as well for you, because they may come and they say, thank you so much for the offer, but I just realized this drive is too much.
Yes.
Or, you know, I got this other opportunity or something that would break down the process otherwise. So
I love that. I think
it's
really great advice. I had also at different times done working interviews when just as you described. And it's funny, as I have brought that up to different doctors as a possible solution to some of the trouble they're running into with their hires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when I've got a doctor who's really
just feels clueless about, you know, I can't predict how this person's in the interview process. I just can't do it. They come in the office and they show up and then they're a totally different person.
Yeah.
And I've suggested a few times that they do like a working interview, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the response I get, if it's a negative response from the doctor, is like, well, you know, there's just different considerations. Like, but if I do that and then I fire him, I'm gonna have to pay unemployment, or you get these other considerations, which I think are really minor when you consider how important it is to select the right people.
Huge, huge.
Right?
We have, and this is like totally off the base, but like one of our clients is Domino's franchise holders, right?
Wow.
And we have
yeah.
some McDonald's franchise holders, right? And you know, their turnover is like incredible. And the cost of even just a delivery person or what have you is much more than you would ever expect. But especially when it's, you know, 15 people a month or 30 people a month turning over,
yeah.
and you have just a startup expense of, you know, it can cost like $15,000 when you talk about the workers' comp and the this and that and the other,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So the fact is that if you can lower that percentage of turnover, even 10%, well, you just save $1,500 a month, right?
Yes.
Or if you can lower it 20%, oh, that's $3,000 a month. Or, you know, you see? And
yep.
with a practice where that's a $80,000 salary or something, you lower that 10%, you're saving a lot of money on just focusing on getting the right person.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can definitely, you know, when you look at it that way, you can really see the, you know, how it monetizes.
It's worthwhile.
It's very worthwhile. You know, one thing I think that people don't see in terms of the disruption of the turnover of hiring is, you know, any new employee, even a great one, is a liability when they first walk in the door. They don't know what to do, really. They don't know who does what yet. And so there always is that ramp up period.
Yeah.
Right, and so you're going
to
have
that. From my software to your software.
Yes, that's right. That's
you
right.
set that up perfectly, T-Ball, right? And that is true. You yeah. guys put in systems that now allow the person to train on their specific position and then allow them to help grow the practice.
Yep.
So as long as they get the right person first, it should be just click and play and start
yes.
looking for a second location.
Exactly. And like you said, if you do that hiring well, you can limit the amount of people that come in and go through that 2 week, 1 month period of sort of liability where they're not producing enough to really pay for themselves yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out it was a bad hire.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think maybe tremendous
trouble.
Savings there.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this, you know, in terms of training
I wrote
HR?
The book in 2011, and it was really just, like I said, a friend had brought me to an event, one of those, you know, big it was called Experts Academy with Brendan Burchard. It was like,
uh-huh.
you know, and now I actually help others do exactly what I learned, which is
Great.
Train to be an author, a speaker, a coach, an online marketer. I have a thing called Create Entrepreneurs, which comes from, you know, learning the hiring process, creating an online business. When that all began, I tell a story often, which is I wrote the book, created an online course on just a little platform, $99, $199. And my wife and I went out and I was speaking at a banking convention in Hawaii.
Yes.
And we're in the Four Seasons Resort, you know, beautiful sunset, you know,
yeah.
VIP guests, everything is great. Go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and bing, there's money in my PayPal account. And I was like, wow, that's really awesome. We're selling
yeah.
courses, that's
yeah.
cool. And then by lunchtime it was like bing, 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 you know, there was more money, and I was like, wow, this is the entrepreneur lifestyle.
Yes.
And then what changed everything was I got emails from people who had completed the course, and they said, this will change my practice. This
wow.
will change my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so thankful. You know, this has been something that's been a problem. It's why I didn't expand past four and, you know, one in
yes.
20, and it's why I didn't succeed. And now I'm working for someone else. And it's why, I mean, like, amazing heartfelt stories.
Wow.
And that was where I was just like, okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the entrepreneur leap and I'm going to do this full time so I can go out and help people even while I sleep.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. And so
yeah.
practice management's the same thing. It's an entrepreneurial venture.
Yes.
And a lot of the doctors have, you know, books and speaking engagements and, you know, their coaches. And that is, you know, part of the core of expanding your practice to many locations. It's that responsibility. Your founder has done the exact same thing, right?
That's right.
You know, just
That's right.
continue to pull back so that he can serve others. And
yep.
as you progress in that, you're doing the same. So
yep.
I think it's amazing that there's that much care for all of your providers. So well done on you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, it's been a great interview.
Yeah.
If our audience would like to learn more about you, I mean, how can they get in touch
with you? Just go to hiringacademy.com. It's just hiringacademy.com. It's as simple as that. We have a great presence on the web. We've done a lot of great partnerships. Maybe soon they'll just go to AMI Doctors or whatever your website is,
.com,
and we'll create something for them direct from you guys.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for making the trip here to Clearwater and being on our podcast and sharing with our audience.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, everybody. Okay. Take care.